welcome to Cyber Monday. Dominic, who do we have in the guest chairs today?
Well, today we're speaking with Mike and Ray from Rent-A-Nerd, which is a local IT managed service provider, and that should be a really good conversation. Looking forward to it.
Very much looking forward to it. So I'm going to bring another chair in here and invite Mike and Ray in, and we will be right back. Mike and Ray, welcome to the show. So good to have you guys.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. So my first question out of the gate is, tell our audience what, in your definition, is IT. What is information technology?
That's a rather broad one. it's great that it's such a encompassing catch-all. Mm-hmm. I feel like pulling up one of those memes where it says, what my parents think I do.
What I actually do.
But honestly, it's a term applied to virtually everything tech-related, mm-hmm, in business, personal, everything you can imagine is lumped under that overall category. Mm-hmm. For us, it means definitely a lot more than a lot of companies, I think, in that it does encompass virtually everything for our clients as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, information is the new oil. It's the new asset for a company. Mm. So what you guys do is such a critical role, and we're always working with IT people. So as a managed service provider, which is what your company does, how do you typically engage with your clients? What does a typical process look like to get them started?
When we meet with new clients for the first time, there's lots of questions. We want to know not just technical questions, not just what computers do you have, what devices do you have. We also want to know about your business. We want to know about where there's any sore points or challenges you have. We want to know where you're going. I think a great MSP or managed service provider is going to ask all those questions and really try to get an amazing understanding, so they can help in every way possible.
Mm-hmm. So you want to get that business context before you start diving in with the technology parts?
Typically, if we can. If sometimes things are a bit more urgent and we need to dive in right away for one reason or another, but the more information we can get about the business and all the details around that, the better. Mm-hmm.
So just one more question before I know your gun is loaded. So what on the technology side then, once you actually get going, what are the specific areas that you help a company or let's say a nonprofit with?
I would say it depends on the client really. As a service, we provide everything from front of the line help desk, tier one style, depending on how you refer to it, all the way through to being acting directors of IT, CTOs, or engagement on special projects. Mm-hmm. This could include things like massive construction or expansion. We really try to do everything that our client requires of us, and that varies over time.
Okay.
That's interesting. I know for Christian and I, there's a lot of myths that we run into when we're chatting with clients or prospective clients, and often we'll say, "Well, how's IT handled?" And they'll say, "Well, everything from how's cybersecurity handled?" I say, "Well, our IT MSP handles that. We don't worry about cybersecurity. Don't worry about cyber risk. That's all on them." And we see that misconception almost that they can just wash their hands of the matter. And what's unfortunate is, we see a lot of IT MSPs as well who say, well, we'll take all your cyber risk and you don't have to worry about anything. And again, that's not true either, there's almost these misunderstandings on both sides. So I guess my first question would be, how dangerous is that sort of that assumption from, the client's perspective that they're absolving themselves of any cyber risk? Because there's the operational piece, but then the actual risk management piece, you don't really outsource that.
I can jump in.
You're both excited to answer.
It's a great question. I'd pull in a medical analogy on this one. I have a fantastic family doctor. I love her to pieces. She's known me for 35 years, but she's a GP. She's a generalist. Mm-hmm. And in general, she does a great job of helping me take care of my body. Yeah. But if I need open heart surgery, which is quite specific, maybe one day, especially in this field, she's going to refer me to someone who's an expert in the field, right, who knows better. And they're going to work as a team. And that's with security especially, I think, speaking broadly for most MSPs, mm-hmm. We try to do the best we can. We have, you know, the general tools, but we're definitely not specialists. And having those specialists like you guys come in and help us do a better job, because there's angles and things sometimes you just don't think about as an MSP. Yeah. So absolutely critical.
That's a really interesting, that's a very interesting analogy, that whole concept of it being a collaborative and team exercise, right? The GP, using that analogy, they don't sort of disappear. They're still part of that process. And then you have that sort of that collaboration, ongoing collaboration between the sort of your generalist, the specialist, and then the client, or the, you know, in that case, the person who's gonna have open heart surgery, right? So the other side of that coin as well is that, again, every business sector is sort of rife with those who sort of, I would say, operate less than ethically. cybersecurity is no stranger to that, as is, you know, the broader field of IT MSPs. We run into a lot of IT MSPs that basically say, you know what the client doesn't know doesn't hurt them, right? We're going to do the bare minimum to try and get by. And if the client doesn't ask for it, we're not going to educate them to inform them that that's something that they should be asking about. And I know the conversations that we've had with you, you know, you guys are taking a very different approach than a lot of your competitors. Why is that, like I said, a very dangerous position for IT MSPs to just say, you know what, we're going to do the bare minimum if we're not being asked? It's sort of like a don't ask, don't tell type policy.
Well, the challenge, I think, goes back to the IT being the catch-all for everything.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the business has an uninformed assumption.
Yeah.
Of what is happening behind this veil of ultimately confusion to them, and saying that, oh, we believe they're doing X for us, versus the MSP who should know better or should be engaging on a broader scope, ultimately either not aware of that themselves, or that they're purposely perhaps omitting those portions, because by opening up these pieces, they start to overextend their boundaries, especially if they're not engaging with outside professionals.
Yes, and what's, you know, that often, you know, what we'll see with a lot of our clients or prospective clients is that they don't feel comfortable sort of asking questions to their IT MSP. Often, many IT MSPs will give a very overtly technical answer just to try and sort of confuse, you know, their clients, so the client doesn't feel comfortable enough sort of refuting that or pushing back.
Or to sound smart.
Or to sound, yes, smarter. And you know, we hear that a lot, that a lot of clients will not ask because they don't want to sort of appear to be stupid, or you know, what they perceive to be stupid. So in terms of that whole engagement, you know, what are some questions or things that small and mid-sized businesses can do? Maybe, you know, a few questions that they can ask of either a prospective IT MSP or their current IT MSP to really optimize that relationship.
Some of it's just starting with not the IT specific questions, you know, to come and say, you know, I'm interested in improving one specific aspect is probably not a likely question for the business to ask. But to ask something about how would you provide information to me in regards to my current risk point, or what would happen if, and start the dialogue around that portion. A great provider would come forward and probably already have been asking questions around those pieces. A provider who is perhaps more interested in a different aspect would come forward and offer a solution that's more of a stencil.
Gotcha.
Here is a package, but I know this is a lot of money, and it's not necessarily scaled to the business or the business needs. It's more of a default, here's what we know, here's our partners that we're engaged with for a variety of different reasons, including perhaps kickbacks on sales. But the number of times there's an approach of, well, this works for this massive company, this is what we're going to bring into your operation, even though you're a fraction of the size, but we're not actually asking about your business and what that actually impacts or supports or complements that is part of that operation.
So everybody gets a double XL big white t-shirt. Everybody,
yeah. And I think if there was two things I would love clients to ask their MSP, there's two things to me. Like there's all sorts of things you could ask, but two, one would be about their backups. What's being backed up? Is it for disaster recovery or litigation? Because there's a big difference there. Yes. And there's quite a few times we've encountered customers where they think they have one type, but they have the other. Mm. Are my cloud services being backed up and how? And really being familiar with their backup. The other thing I'd love them to ask is about security. And right down to maybe asking your MSP, what do you think about the third-party security audit? One of our stories once with the customers, we sat down for our monthly meeting with the CEO of this company, and he got a little uncomfortable as he hit his last item, and this is a publicly traded company, and he said, I don't want to step on your toes, but the board of directors really wants an outside third-party security audit. What do you feel about that? And I burst out laughing because on my list, I turned my agenda items around to him. I said, what's the first thing on this list? And he said, and he read it, and it was, we need money for a third-party outside IT security audit. It's really, really, those are two topics and two areas that are critically important to know and talk about.
That's, you know, and the I'll parlay that and sort of to my last question before I throw the mic back to you is that whole notion of if you're a small and mid-sized business, and let's say up until recently you've just been relying on, you know, it's fine, so many businesses we run into, they'll say, well, we have an IT guy, you know, and it's like often someone that the CEO knows or went to school with or whatever, and someone literally doing off the side of their desk, that's not even their day job. At what point, or what are sort of some of the factors that small and mid-sized businesses should be looking at in which they say, you know what, now is the time which we need to engage an IT managed service partner?
So I would say asking yourself the question of, if my IT person was hit by a bus today, what would happen?
Or if they won the lottery.
Or
if they
were unsuccessful open hearts. Yeah.
And starting the dialogue from that point.
Right.
Because if the answer is suddenly a lot of concern and uncomfortable areas, that's probably a fairly good indicator that a broader conversation is needed. To then reach out to other companies for recommendations, engagement, at least getting an idea of where they are postured in their IT framework to at least know what the next steps could be.
Yeah.
And that may mean no action today in regards of changes. Perhaps they are in a great place and that things are wonderful, but at least then they know.
Right.
And
because then it's more about their IT guy and that person. If he was removed for whatever reason, good or bad, it's not a system that they have in place to be able for someone else to step in and just kind of run the show.
Ultimately, one of our core beliefs is that amongst our team, we're dispensable.
Yeah,
and we drive towards that so that if, again, I was hit by that bus today, that it's not a massive impact. And in a lot of companies, they have systems for so many other things that actually have that in place. But again, that veil of uncertainty around IT, that they just leave that in its own pocket.
If, and I lied, I do have one. If, let's say, a company's going through sort of like an interview process, trying to figure out what IT managed service partner or provider to go with, what are some maybe one or two red flags that businesses or business owners should be on the lookout if they hear back from an answer, or like I said, something that should maybe perk up their ears, maybe good or bad, you know, good flag or red flag, but what are some things that they could keep an eye out for?
Well, it puts us kind of on the opposite side of this table, perhaps, in that we're sort of anti-MSP, MSP, in that our approach is very different than a lot of the industry.
Yes.
In our engagements, because we have a different model in how we bill with our clients and how we represent ourselves. So on our side, we don't do flat rate monthly billing and package style, and that we really scale up and down depending on the needs of the client. Whereas a lot of MSPs will come and do a package based on number of desktops, number of servers, and have an approach that is very much driven by those numbers and perhaps certain profitability around those number pieces. So in terms of the engagement, quite often we hear a lot of negativity around how often they hear from that provider, or how often they see them on site, or how they engage with them when they actually have a problem and they have a different person who they have to explain who they are,
over and over again.
So as a company's engaging and looking for these services, starting with what do we actually want and what that gives us in terms of services and accessibility is probably a great opportunity to start there. Again, starting with the business first, what are our needs, and then looking at what the providers are actually giving you.
I think some things I would watch for if I was looking for an MSP, definitely reading everything very, very carefully. I know in technology, no one ever, we just, I accept next, 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 next. But definitely reading.
You're one of those rare folks that actually reads
actually
all the small print.
Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes absolutely. And there's sometimes some scary stuff in that small print.
Yeah. Sure.
But definitely looking very carefully at the scope of what they're providing. Seeing where you think your business is going for, you know, take that range of both good and bad and be like, how's that going to be affected by this contract if it's a heavily scoped one? Definitely looking at the contract terms to do with duration of the contract. Are you signing something that's a month to month, or is it a 3-year or 5-year commitment that you are have has high penalties for canceling? And then maybe something else I would ask is about transparency of their billing process. If they're doing flat rate, do you have the ability to say, hey, how many hours a week or a month are you spending on my site? Most MSPs, almost all, track that information, but whether they choose to share it or not, it's quite the difference.
Very helpful. So in terms of the types of clients you work with, are there specific sectors that you focus on? Are there specific areas where you, most of your clients are, or do you just basically service anybody and everybody and it's a big mix?
For our company specifically, typically our customers are 25 employees or greater.
Okay.
That goes all the way up to our largest, which I think is in the range of about 1,200 employees. We kind of have three buckets of customers. We have a fairly strong presence in K-12 independent education, so private schools. We have the second bucket would be mining, precious metals mining. Which is a really interesting place because a lot of new ITs coming in there. And our third bucket would be more broadly everybody else. And we do work with almost every industry.
So for the mining, what does that look like? What are some of the kind of crazy things? Because, you know, like we're here in Vancouver, the headquarters is here, but maybe the mine's somewhere in deep in Latin America somewhere. Do you actually go down there and on site?
I've been on the mining side for a bit because it's really energized and it excited me for some of the things and some of the ways you can help with technology in those industries. But in the last few years, it's led the Rentner team to the top of glaciers, to the top of snow-capped mountains and microwave stations. And then,
are you taking selfies when you're there?
Absolutely do. In 2019, we spent some time in the Ecuadorian Amazon rainforest working for a customer, and it's pretty amazing where technology is and how it's being used by all companies, but mining companies in particular excite me quite a bit. So
setting up communications on site, I would imagine.
Communications on site is a big thing. With a lot of remote situations, IT is really important. Nowadays, it used to be someone would go work remotely in another country and they might send a postcard home. Right. They might be gone for 6 months and they may or may not beat that postcard home.
Right.
Now, every night, people are expecting to FaceTime or Skype with their families. They want that personal connection as well. And more companies are realizing how important it is to have social use of the business IT.
So then of those, there's the education, there's the mining, and then there's the rest. So what is your typical engagement with that third bucket there?
On our side,
manufacturing offices.
In manufacturing, professional services, we have nonprofits. It really is quite the variety. I mean,
mixed bag.
a mixed bag. Our typical engagement with actually all of our customers on our side is we typically assign a small group, typically two people to a customer. Mm-hmm. Even if they don't need two people full time, we want two people to know that site intimately. Yeah. And we have a big belief on being on site and with our customers. So I would say, with very few exceptions, we spend more than 90% of our time on site with our customers. It just helps us build, in our opinion, a better relationship and learn more about what our customers need.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's it for me. My questions are answered.
That was a really, really engaging conversation, and we're very grateful to the two of you for coming in studio and chatting with us. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And Christian and I will be right back to wrap things up.
Another good conversation with Mike and Ray. My biggest takeaway was just where they got into the billing and making sure that you're getting what you pay for with your IT managed service provider.
Yeah, you know, I think there was a lot of good ground that we covered there, and that whole notion of the unknown that so many small and mid-sized businesses just blindly trust their IT managed service providers. I think Mike and Ray touched on some really good key points there and red flags that organizations should keep an eye out for, making sure that they're holding their IT MSPs accountable.
So thanks for watching. You can check out our other podcasts on conversationsthatmatter.tv or the Conversations That Matter YouTube channel, and there's a Cyber Monday playlist there. And you can listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts. And we will see you next Monday.